Loveline, coast to coast.
Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is out of New York tonight. Drew, are you there?
Yep.
Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191, and we're happy to have again in the studio the Cult. Billy Duffy and Ian Astbury are both here from the band. Ian was not here last time, I believe. Billy and Matt.
I've been before.
Well, when were you here last?
A while ago, maybe it was when in the Holy Barbarians, when I was on my cult hiatus.
Wow, what, I mean, was it, or how many years are we talking about?
Quite a few, maybe before you, I think maybe before you were doing it.
Jeez, yeah, I don't remember that, but I do remember Billy. And the new CD is out. It's called Beyond Good and Evil. It was out June 6th. Cult's lining up a large tour date of the States, and we will give some of those tour dates out as the night wears on. We'll also hear something off of the new CD. And how long has it been? 7 years? Is that what I was reading?
Yeah, 7 years since the last album.
And when you guys made your last album 7 years ago, did you part on good terms? Or, I mean, were you bored of each other? Were you pissed at each other?
Family, like brothers, you know? It's like, it was just because I was going, I just, the head went totally.
You went potty.
It imploded, yeah. Something snapped and I just couldn't do it anymore. So yep. I ran away.
And where'd you go?
Start a new band.
And then
out the frying pan into the fire. And the other band was just totally insane.
And were you talking to the other members of the cult the whole time?
Couldn't get Charlie on the phone. He was in jail. Squeaky was in jail. We sat down 2 weeks after I left the band. Me and Billy sat down.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of like said, let's dissolve it.
For a while, yeah.
Yeah, let's put it to bed for a little while.
And what made you pick up the phone and get back together?
I think it's, you know, again, it's like blood, family, unfinished business. It didn't end. When the band originally dissolved, it wasn't a case of it ending. It was just a case of it was a necessity to take a break for a while.
Right. So you felt like you'd get back together at some point?
Yeah, just after the rejuvenated oneself.
Well, that point is going to start out here on June 14th. When's that? A couple of days?
Thursday night.
That's in Reno and Santa Barbara, Sacramento. I'll give all the dates out where you can find the cult. And like I said, we'll hear something off Beyond Good and Evil, the new CD. Drew?
Yeah?
What are you doing in New York?
48 hours.
When is that?
I don't know.
You doing it tomorrow?
Doing it tomorrow, and then I don't have no idea when it's going to air. So,
all right.
And I have no idea what I'm doing, so it's good.
Great times. I hope it's a big big ambush.
God bless you. Maybe this is where I'm finally going to run into the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Yes. All right. Drew, you're awake? Yeah. I know it's late over there. You ready to go?
Adam.
All right.
I left the Pacific time zone this morning.
All right, buddy.
You know what I'm saying?
Just giving you an easy out. Tom?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
I have a boyfriend, and there's this girl that likes me too, but I'm not positive the girl likes me, and my boyfriend lives like 2 hours away.
Yeah, how old's he?
15.
Oh, so are you gay or are you bi? What are you?
Yeah, bi.
Bi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Eventually you'll be gay, don't you think?
I'm not really sure about that.
It's bye-bye, right, Adam?
Yeah, I think when you're bi, you're saying bye to heterosexuality and hello to homo. That's the way I've always looked at it.
I don't know about that.
You don't know. How are your parents? Are they okay with this stuff?
They don't know. I think my dad would kill me, actually. Huh. My mom might be okay with it after the initial shock.
Right.
My dad would, like, disown me.
Okay, well, don't tell him until you move out.
Right. I planned on telling him, like, leaving a note and then going off to college.
Right.
What?
In another country.
Yeah, wait till he's done paying for college and then leave him the note.
Yeah, exactly. What is that going to do for you?
I don't know. I'll just be out of the house.
Okay. Yeah, but wait till you form a series of a network of friends at college who can support you through whatever your dad's reaction is.
Okay, so what's the question, though?
I just don't know what I should do, if I should stay with my boyfriend or whatever.
Are you committed to him? Is it a monogamous relationship?
Well, I am to him, but I don't know if he is to me.
Yeah. He's 15. Who else is he committed to?
Well, it's like this. I'm exclusive, or he's exclusive to me, or wait, it's the other way around.
Right.
You're exclusive to him, but he does whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Well, listen, why don't you break that relationship up? Just like you know, decent behavior in any relationship. Break one up, and then if you want to start another one, by all means do. But just get rid of clarify the one before you go start hurting people by muddying the situation.
Yeah, 2 hours is a long haul when you're 16.
Yeah,
keep a relationship going. All right, thanks, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Yeah?
I don't know. I mean, you're confused. You're making me confused. The guy lives 2 hours away. If you're in love with him, stay with him. If you're not, then break it up with him.
That's it. Not just somebody, maybe. And by the way, a reason to get in a relationship with someone is not, gee, I think maybe they like me. Therefore, I better be in a relationship. I better go for it. How do you feel about her?
What about this girl?
I think I like her, but, you know, we've been, I know it doesn't sound like very long, but we've been together about 2 months.
Yeah.
Doing what?
Huh?
Do you have sex?
No.
What are you doing?
I've met him a couple times, but nothing really. We've tried to stay away from getting too close, just in case something like this would happen.
Hold on, you and the girl, or are you and the guy?
What are you talking about? He's talking about the guy.
Oh, I was asking about the girl. Okay, hey, listen, Drew.
Yeah.
Billy Ann, I don't care. Okay. I just don't. Hey, he's bi. He's confused. He can settle it.
Jessica.
I don't know what advice to give him.
Jessica's 19. There's no question there.
Jessica?
Yeah?
What's up?
Not much.
Hmm.
Okay, well, my boyfriend was going down on me, and it was going, like, really good. And then I tinkled in his face.
Tinkle? What?
And tinkle is pee.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Is that number ones?
Yeah, that's number ones.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so you tinkled on him.
Yeah.
Did it get in his mouth?
Well, yeah.
I see.
Adam, okay, just the visual here, somehow the word tinkle doesn't apply?
No, it really
doesn't.
Doesn't
it put something about sitting and tinkling?
It just doesn't seem like you could tinkle into somebody.
Into somebody's face, no.
Yeah, that's a whiz. At least a whiz. Maybe a pee. Yeah. It's been upgraded to pee. So you tinkled on him, and what did he do?
Like, I was embarrassed, and I told him I'm sorry. He said, that's okay. I must have been doing something right because I triggered it.
Right.
Yeah, see, Adam, that's my kind of guy there.
Right.
Same thing.
Okay.
And then he kept going.
Well, yeah. He's all man.
Medal of Honor.
That's a keeper right there.
Yeah. How old is he?
He's 28.
Oh.
And how old are you?
19.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's probably been tinkled on before.
Oh.
Yeah, that's pretty old. Can you turn your radio down, goofball?
Hold on.
Oh.
He's probably a loser, too, Adam. I mean, that's why he's willing to, you know what I mean? He's 28-year-old and 19-year-old.
Yeah.
He's gonna find out.
Let me find out about this guy. What does he do for a living?
He works on houses.
I see. Mm. Yeah, that's bad. So he does carpentry, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an evil man.
What does he do on houses? What exactly does he do?
He, like helps build them.
Okay.
Labor, Adam.
So there's a hierarchy right there in the construction world.
Oh, yeah. And he's way down. He's what we would call a goomper in the carpentry world. He's humping lumber and carrying drywall and all that stuff. All right. And how is he other than being okay with tinkling in his mouth? Is he a good guy?
Yeah, he's a really good guy. He helps take care of my baby and everything.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Who's the baby from?
Another guy.
I see.
That doesn't do nothing.
Okay. And everyone getting along okay? Your baby doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay, you don't pee on your baby, do you?
No.
Okay.
How old was the father of the baby?
He's 23.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does he give you any money?
No.
Why not?
Because
he's a low life.
Okay, but you can still get some money from him.
Yeah, I'm taking him to court.
All right. All right, so you tinkled on the guy. Are you worried that you're going to do it again?
Well, I don't know. I just don't know if you're supposed to do that.
No, don't worry about it. It's fine. It happens. It's called female orgasmic incontinence. Good times.
You guys ever been tinkled on?
Oh, yes.
You have?
Yeah.
Yeah, you mean when they reach orgasm?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, right?
Yeah, it's recently. Perfectly healthy.
I am within the last 2 weeks to me.
Billy, you been tinkled on recently?
Very recently.
What happened?
It was actually not in America. It was in Canada. I can't be any more specific than that, you know.
Okay.
But, give us the
non-specific tinklage.
Yeah, it was tinkling.
Saskatchewan?
I could probably...
Maybe it was in Regina.
I could narrow it down to a province.
Right.
Where they say we a lot.
Right. So it's like Quebec, Montreal?
We.
Good, Adam, good.
Thank you.
We.
And this took you by surprise, but you're okay with it.
Well, it was a lady who'd had kids, and I think that might be related...
That's an interesting point.
But not that I know. Stress urinary incontinence is, so if she's bearing down real hard, they might dribble out a little bit. But the actual femur orgasmic incontinence can happen to young, healthy women.
Well, was she having an orgasm?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good mm-hmm. work. Mm-hmm. Good work.
Are you sure it was pee and not the female ejaculation?
It could have been something else.
Yeah, you might have a point there. I mean, you can't really, you know, it's like you can't dust for vomit, you know, like in Spinal Tap, you know. Yeah. It's
true.
You
know, don't burst this balloon, by the way.
I just thought of a new product. You know, they have these Uri sticks.
Yeah,
you can just you know, pick it out and test it. Drop the stick in there.
Well, listen, the
turns
point
blue,
is
you got urine.
If you can coax something to come out of a woman, you're doing a pretty good job, and that's what Billy has done, Chris.
Yeah.
You're 24.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
I've been going out with a girl for about a month. It's going really well. I'm not a virgin, and she is. And I don't want to have sex with her too early because I don't want to have it, you know, damage the emotional relationship. So I want to know what you guys thought is a good kind of guideline for how far along we should be in the emotional relationship before we proceed.
It's not going to damage the emotional relationship, but it's going to bond her to you like epoxy. I mean, you're going to be bound.
Do you want that?
I don't want super attachment codependency, but I mean, I want the intimacy, yeah.
How long you been with her?
About a month.
Yeah, everything's going good?
Yeah, everything's great.
All right.
So I just
My vote is 6 months.
6 months?
Yeah, it is.
Why?
Because listen, this is a woman who's saving her virginity for marriage. She believes, on some level, if she gives this up to him, that's where it's going. And at 6 months, he'll know whether there's really a probability of that or not.
That's a good point.
How do you know she's saving it for marriage? Did he say that?
No, she hasn't said that.
She's 20, she's a virgin.
Well, maybe she was fat in high school. Is there anything wrong with her?
Not that I can tell. She seems perfectly normal.
Why do you think she's a virgin?
She came from a really small town, just started college 2 years ago, so...
Listen, people who come from small towns have sex with the family members. That's no...
12.
That's no excuse. Yeah, at 11. Please. Small town. There wasn't a penis in that town?
I think she was just really shy during high school, so...
Nope.
You don't buy that, Drew?
No, I think people have to make a volitional choice to do that.
To have sex? Or not to have sex?
Not to, these days.
It's kind of funny that you really have to make a choice to not have sex if you're a woman, and if a guy, you have to make the choice to have sex. But, Chris?
Yeah?
All right, why don't you pick her brain a little?
Okay.
I think you could at least get some oral sex this weekend.
All right. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Yes. Enjoy.
And I know it's sort of that'll be enough for you, Adam. It's stop right there.
I enjoy oral sex as a guy. A lot of guys aren't into that. I'm into that. That would hold me off.
No ass.
Yeah. If I could do a couple years in prison and probably just receive oral sex and be okay. Just FYI. Just something you guys, you know.
In case you break any, like, major laws.
Case something.
Federal.
Case I do any time. Just so the other felons know. I'll blow a guy right at the dinner table. Oh, please. That was totally out of context. Mike?
Megan.
I'm sorry. Megan.
Hi.
You're 17. You're on with Billy and Ian from The Cult.
Hi.
Hello.
I just want to say I think you guys are great, Drew and Adam. You do a great job.
Oh, what about The Cult?
Who would I...
I'm not familiar with you guys.
You don't know The Cult?
No.
Well, 17.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
She was 10 when we put our last album out.
Oh, my God.
She wasn't even born when we started.
So what's up?
Well, a friend of mine drowned, like, about 2 weeks ago.
What happened?
Tinkled in the mouth.
No.
No.
Well, he was out swimming with a bunch of his friends and...
Drinking?
No.
All right. Mm.
Didn't drink.
Mm-hmm.
But he had cancer just a while before, and he had to have surgery, and his lungs had gotten really weak from the surgery and everything. And he'd gone swimming, and the water shocked his lungs, and he couldn't breathe. And, you know, went under, and nobody could get him back up.
Oh, God.
But ever since you know, I've been, like, really afraid of water. Not, like, you know.
But Megan, that's a very special circumstance. You know, he probably actually had a heart problem from the chemotherapy, too, I bet you.
And you're calling from Minnesota?
Yeah.
Lots of lakes.
Yeah, there's 10,000 lakes there. You're bound to drown eventually. I mean, doesn't everyone in Minnesota, you figure you're going to get it eventually via the lake. Is there really 10,000 lakes there?
More?
Yeah.
Jesus. All right, but so you've been swimming your whole life, and now you're freaked out about it?
Yeah,
Megan, but you know how to be safe in water. And this is somebody who there's two things that commonly but can happen from chemotherapy. One is something called pulmonary fibrosis, and another thing is congestive heart failure. And both those things, exposed to sort of a shock like cold water, could really become acutely decompensated. He gets sick real fast. So it really wasn't that he drowned. It was that he had a complication of his chemotherapy. And he happened to be in water when it happened, and that sort of made it, you know, obviously a terminal event.
All right. So sorry about that, Megan.
Yeah, just be safe, Megan. It's understandable that you'd freak out about it. You got to get in there again and start swimming a little bit. Try a swimming pool first. Something a little easier, all right?
Okay.
Really? All right. Well, just turn the hose on yourself just to sort of acclimate yourself, and then go for the swimming pool.
Okay.
All right, baby.
Thanks.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you want us to jump in with commentary?
Yes, please jump in.
Fine.
You know anyone who's ever drowned?
My brother actually nearly drowned.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
He was at Cub Scout camp.
They have Cub Scouts.
He hated
in
it. Where do you think it comes from?
I don't know.
Lord Baden Powell.
It came from Utah or something.
Yes, it did. And no, he was like 11. He went to this Cub Scout camp, and he hated it so much that he flung himself in the swimming pool.
Oh my God.
With all his clothes on.
Well, that's a
form of... nearly froze. That's just typical, my brother, but he hated it. They were giving him, like, feeding the kids, like, dry fish cakes and...
Yeah.
Just like 13.
Trying to toughen them up.
Horrible.
Hey, anyone who's ever fallen into really cold water knows that you really can't breathe.
I fell in Lake Ontario once when it was cold.
Yeah. You're immediately gasping for air?
Oh, yeah.
How'd you fall in?
We were playing on the ice floes.
And you were protesting, so you just...
No, we were just screwing around.
And you just fell in?
Yeah.
How cold was the water?
Really cold.
And did you immediately, like, go...
My friends pulled me out, yeah.
Yeah, why...
By my hood.
Why is that, Drew? I mean, why...
Hypothermia, isn't it? Well...
Yeah, but it's setting muscle, in, but...
You know, I don't know that much about the physiology of it, but if I understand right, the muscle just doesn't function. You know, the muscles for breathing, all those muscles just cease to function real quickly.
Hey, Pat?
Yes?
You're 33.
Yes.
What's up?
Yeah, well, first I need to tell you what happened, and then I want to ask my question.
All right.
That's okay.
All right.
When I was about 5 years old, and now I remember this like it was yesterday, my cousin raped me, and my cousin was like about 11 or 12 years old.
Great.
And I told him to stop doing it, and, well, see, we were in the bedroom, and he told me to go into the bathroom, walk across the room, and like four or five of his other brothers were in the bedroom. And so we went into the bathroom, and he told me to get down on all fours, and I did, and he put his penis in me and kept going like that, and I didn't scream or anything. And then and then I kept saying, don't do that. Stop doing that.
Why are you so focused on the I said stop business?
Because I didn't want him to do it, and he kept doing
it. Of course. Pat, you were 5 years old.
Yeah.
Of course you didn't want him to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no 5-year-old wants someone to do that to them.
No. Yeah, of course not.
All right. So what's up now, Pat?
Well, I never told anybody about this. I mean, I, like, blocked this out of my mind until, like, 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
From, like, 1974 till 1992, I didn't think about it. I didn't even have anything like that in my mind until one day it popped into my head.
It's been there, believe me. It's been in the wiring in your head all along.
All right, so what's the question, Pat?
Okay, I was going to a therapist in 1992, and I told her that I had thoughts about having sex with young children.
Mm-hmm.
Just thoughts. I would never do it because I don't want to go to prison.
Right.
But if you listen to this show, you know that's what happens when people are sexually abused, right? Those are the people that then abuse other children. And children oftentimes abuse other children before they even reach adulthood.
Well, everyone just abuses everyone now. I think it's it's endemic. But what's up?
Well, so, the therapist said, if you don't quit having those thoughts, I'm going to recommend that you have shock treatment.
All right.
No.
Really?
And I was like...
Why not?
Was the therapist's name Frankenstein?
Yeah. Well, shock therapy won't do anything for those thoughts. Case.
I don't know. I was in Las Vegas at the time when she told me this. And I also came across compulsive gambling. Mm. I'm 33 now. I started gambling when I was 21, and it just took off. And I would blow my money and blow checks and quit jobs and everything.
All right.
What's the question, Pat?
Okay, should I go back to another therapist and
yes.
work through this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
Maybe two therapists.
Talk therapy, if it would work for obsessions like this, we'd use it, but it doesn't. It's not specifically for this kind of thing at all.
All right, okay. So Pat, get back into therapy and keep doing your work.
Okay.
And contain those impulses.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yes. 60% of people who've been abused.
And listen, all of you contain your impulses, no matter what it is. Whatever you have an idea to do, don't do it. Take a nap instead. That's what I do.
Take a cold shower.
Yes, I
beat
off.
Have a wank and roll over.
I have a wank, a rollover, and I take a nap.
And a nice cup of tea.
Yeah, can you treat yourself to a nice cup of tea afterwards?
I will wank in a nice cup of tea, and
not
then...
Not mine, you won't.
Not in his cup of tea, well, young man.
I'm sorry. How dare you? Very snooty band, Drew, this cult.
Yes, I hear.
Drew is over there in New York. We're over here in L.A. Billy and Ian are both here from the cult. We're going to take ourselves a little break. We'll come back. We'll hear something off the new CD, Beyond Good and Evil, and give you some tour dates and take some more calls and all that after this.
Is this Loveline?
Call 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam and Dr. Drew will be right back.
Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Tricky's going to be in here tomorrow night. The Cult is here tonight. Billy and Ian are both here. Beyond Good and Evil is the name of the CD. I think we just heard something off of that. I think we're going to hear something else off of that after we take this next call. Josh?
Yeah, how you doing?
You're 19?
I am.
What's up?
Well, I've been seeing this girl for a couple days now, and I don't know, like, we will come back to my house for a little while and nobody's here, and like, I'll try and get her off by, like, you know, going down on her for a little while.
Yeah.
And it really never works, but I usually go for, like, probably a half hour or so.
Yeah.
I mean...
God bless you. That's right. You still try.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, I've never really had problems with that before, you know? I've had, like, probably five or six different partners.
Yeah.
Some women, just like with some men, don't really get off with that action.
Well, not you know, when they're 18, they don't do it as much as they do at 38.
Yeah, but some women... The ones that are sort of multi-orgasmic or that have orgasm during intercourse are the ones that aren't tending to have the orgasm with the oral sex as much.
Well, another thing that she told me was that she masturbates like two or three times daily. So
see, she's the multi-orgasmic type.
Yeah, but she, listen, if she masturbates two or three times a day, she should enjoy a good oral sex. And
well, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, well. What about sex? You don't have sex with her?
Oh, I do. It usually builds up to that, you know, when that's not working, I'll be like, well, you know, it usually works up to that, so.
Yeah.
But.
So how does it go then?
How's the intercourse go?
Pretty good. I usually climax before she does this, so.
Yeah. And how does she climax after you climax?
Climaxed.
Well. I usually switch back over to something else. We tried different things, but that's my problem. I've never really gotten her off before.
I see.
Oh, okay. So you didn't say that.
Well, you said he climaxes before she does, but he didn't necessarily say she did or she didn't. It's just before. That's if right. She did, it would have been before. All right, so she's masturbating three times a day?
Apparently, this is what she tells me.
What is her technique? Does she use a vibrator?
Actually, yeah, she's it's like a finger thing is what she tells me, and I've been listening to the show for a while.
Wait. What does she use?
Does she use a vibrator?
No, she, like, fingers herself.
Okay, stop agreeing with everything I say and then saying something different. It's very confusing. Okay. So she just diddles herself?
Yes.
Okay, so, you know...
Adam, I get a certain vibe here all of a sudden. This isn't making sense.
From Josh, you mean like bogus?
Yeah.
No.
No? I don't know. I kind of believe him.
All right.
I mean, why would he be calling a national radio show and saying he can't give a woman an orgasm? That hardly sounds like bragging. I'm going to believe you, Josh.
Cool.
Okay, so you just got to hone your technique a little. And why don't you say to her, what do you do? What do you like? How do you do it? You have those orgasms? What do you do to yourself? Why don't you let me do it?
I was listening to the show a couple weeks ago, and I heard you say something about, like, the faucet in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Or the bathtub. I told her about that, and apparently it works. So, you know.
Well, she doesn't need any help by herself.
I know. I'm trying to figure out what's going on and what I'm doing wrong or what I'm not.
Yeah, why would you recommend to her do something by herself when that's not the problem?
Well, I don't know. She was curious about it. I asked her how she goes about doing it by herself, you know?
Okay. Ask her what she likes when you're with her, okay?
Right.
All right there, Josh.
Okay, just one more thing. Dr.
Yeah,
Drew, I saw you on...
go shut up, Drew.
Go ahead.
I saw you on Politically Incorrect the other night with Bill Maher.
Yeah.
I thought you made a lot of good points on that show, and I just want to commend you for that.
Thank you, Josh.
They've disarmed me, so I'm not going to call you bogus.
Yeah, when were you on PI?
I must have been a repeat. It was a couple weeks ago. I did one a couple weeks ago.
PI, Oprah, 48 hours. You're big time, Drew.
How about, like, with that last guy, how about combining, like, the actual sex with her diddling herself while they're doing it, and then the kind of both things are happening at once, and maybe...
See, this is why we have rock stars on the show.
That might satisfy both people at the same time. He seems it's a pressure gig, like he's a failure. It's not really his problem.
Well, he's doing what guys do, which is he's treating her vagina like he's trying to disarm a bomb or something. Like
it is.
He's made it into a project, and he's probably freaking her out.
But it is.
It's like disarming a bomb?
It is.
Well, it takes... you don't want to...
Because they do go off occasionally.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Billy knows. When he was in Canada. He had one blow up right in his face. But you know what's weird? And I mean, tell me if you guys have had the same experience, because most women can diddle themselves, or I'm just calling it diddle because that's not using the tub and it's not using a vibrator. It's just kind of using their finger and give themselves an orgasm. But sometimes when you're with that woman and you're having intercourse and you do what Billy said, which is diddle yourself while I'm in you, they go, it's too much. Or I can't do it.
It's two different kinds of orgasm, yeah. I think.
Right, but as a guy, if we whacked off and we could somehow get a hand on our penis and simulate our whacking off while we were having sex, we just have an orgasm that much faster. You know what I mean? Maybe two orgasms. Why can't they diddle themselves? If they're diddling themselves and having an orgasm, then you get in them. Why can't they do it? That's just a poor attitude there, Drew. That's nothing physiological. That's just being a pain in the ass. They do it. It's funny. They diddle. You know what I love? I love when women do this one where they go like, they diddle and you're in them and they go, too much. Like they get overwhelmed. The diddling overwhelms them. Guy's never done that. They're really hard to figure out, these women. Let's take ourselves, we're not going to take a break. We're going to hear something from the cult. Yes, Drew? Yes.
No. Music to diddle by.
Yes, off of Beyond Good and Evil, out in stores as we speak. And this one is called Rise. Oh, there you go. The cult is back, everybody.
Uh-huh.
That is a great song.
Thank you.
I really, really do love the cult.
Thank you.
Billy and Ian are both here from the cult. Beyond Good and Evil is the name of the new CD. I guess now would be a good time to tell you where they can be found over the next few months with their tour of the United States. Like we talked about, Reno on the 14th, that's Thursday, right?
Yep.
Santa Barbara on the 16th, Sacramento 17th, San Diego 19th, Phoenix 21st, Las Vegas 22nd. They're going to be, they've announced all the Weenie Rose stuff,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah, good. We'll see them in Irvine Meadows on the 22nd at the Weenie Rose. Oh, sorry, 23rd at the Weenie Rose. Salt Lake City, 25th, Denver, Kansas City, Chicago, Minneapolis, Detroit, Cleveland, Boston, New York, Washington, D.C., Miami, Orlando, Atlanta, Austin, Anaheim, Los Angeles, Portland, and San Francisco, all in the next upcoming month and a half or 2 months. So look for the cult coming to a town near you. Drew is over there in New York. I'm here with Colt in L.A., and let's talk to Alex, who's 26. Alex?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, I was just I had a question for Ian. I was just wondering what your inspiration was for Sweet Soul Sister. Because, I mean, that was, like, one of the songs that you guys were, like, greatly known for. I mean, at least, like, in the early 90s.
Yeah. I think it's about Angela Davis, Black Panther. I wrote it in Paris.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was early 90s?
No, it's like late 80s, 89.
Yeah, yeah, that's 90. What I thought was more there. Hey, Alex?
Yeah.
Yeah, you get your...
Did you get that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't really hear...
Angela Davis. Did you get that?
I'm sorry?
Angela Davis, Black Panther. Female Black Panther.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really never realized that, because, I mean that song is, like, so... I mean, that sound is really known for you guys.
Yeah, it's soaring. Do you have any
sexy questions?
Yeah.
Did a man ask a man?
How's your equipment? Is it operating?
Yeah, exactly.
Everything working, Alex? Hey, are you going to see the Cult when they come to Chicago?
Exactly, that's my point.
Oh, wait. Wait, are you really high, Alex?
I wish I was right now.
All right. Well, you
it
can.
This has a bad connection.
Oh, really? Is that what it is? Well, he understood the high question.
Yeah.
All right, let's take her. Hey, do they have Black Panthers in the UK?
They had the White Panthers.
Really?
Yeah. The White Panthers came out of Detroit, and then they had the White Panthers with, like, Mick Farren and the Pink Fairies, kind of an affiliated group.
But the Black Panther, the militant black organization, but no Black Panther in the UK.
Not that I'm aware of. There may possibly have been one. I know there's a Hispanic group called the Young Lords about the same time, the Black Panthers and the White Panthers.
I'd like to head out to England and start up the Black Panthers.
I think it'll be good.
We're going to take a break. The Cult is here, and we'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew.
Hey, Ian.
Yeah.
So, Ann was pointing out to me that you don't seem to pee as much when I'm not around.
Yeah.
I have a shy bladder?
I have a sympathetic bladder, which is when you have to urinate, it has to urinate. Plus, I like to look at your penis.
Because that's, I think, what she was getting at. Yeah.
You spend your whole life with doctors looking at your penis, but you rarely get to look at a doctor's penis. So, for me, it's exciting to see a doctor's penis.
Not if you're with a doctor I used to go to in England.
Really? What did he do?
No matter what you went in for.
He got a look at it.
He got my penis out, yeah.
You were good looking.
Could you just pee in here, please?
That's right.
What are you in for? My shoulder hurts. Yeah, just urinate into this.
Yeah, they like to get you in your underpants and then have you sit around for about 4 days. Yeah. Billy and Ian are both here from The Cult. Beyond Good and Evil is the name of the CD. Also, Tricky in here tomorrow night. Dave Navarro, Pennywise, 311, Sum 41. A lot of bands in
got
here.
Some heavyweights coming in now.
Yeah, in the next few days. But speaking of heavyweights, The Cult's here tonight. Owen?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, first, I want to say give props to your phone screeners, Damien and Tara.
Yeah.
They were both super, super nice to me.
Oh, good. Well, they're good people.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've lately, probably for the last 2 or 3 months, I've been having virtually every night very, very intense dreams. And it's gotten to the point, actually, where I've started to really, like, enjoy them and look forward to them.
Yeah.
Are they the same themes?
Well, there is a lot of them have to do with car chases and car crashes.
Huh.
But they really do sort of run the gamut. I've had everything from, like, being involved in, like, a gunfight to watching a sibling die. Yeah. I mean, all kinds of different stuff. But the thing is now, like, it's gotten to the point where I don't consider my night restful or complete until I've, like, had one of these really intense dreams. Like, I wake up, like, sort of what prompted me to start calling the show and trying to get a hold of you guys for a couple of days was I was having one in the morning. I was having a dream where I was driving a car trying to get away from some people who were chasing me, and my dad came in and woke me up, and I got, like, visibly really upset with him for coming in and wake me up out of this dream. Like, I mean, I was, like, screaming at him, and I didn't even know really why. I was sort of, like, couldn't control myself.
Hmm.
Well, at least he didn't catch you beating off, by the way. So
well, that's been done, too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Medication, Owen?
No medication at all.
Nothing, no vitamins, over-the-counter medicine?
No, you know, I take ibuprofen a little bit because I play a lot of basketball.
Yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, no.
All right. What do you want to do about it?
Well, I don't know. I want it to stop because it's starting to... I mean, as long as it wasn't having negative consequences, like with my family or whatever, you know, I wasn't real worried about it.
Yeah.
I just figured, you know, I'd have these dreams and, you know, because I actually enjoyed it. But now, like, it started to... I mean, you know, I had this...
Sounds like some kind of escapism as well. If you're absorbed in dreams, it sounds like maybe you're escaping from something. I mean, if you're reacting to your father in that way, you know, you're screaming at your father for waking you up, there's maybe something going on there.
Yeah.
How's reality going for you?
Actually, really well. I'm a week from graduating from high school, and I'm going to Pomona down in Claremont next year.
College?
Yeah. I'm going to Pomona, and actually, Drew, I was going to say you've been a real inspiration to me. I want to be I'm going to be a psychiatrist, hopefully.
Good for you. Listen, Owen, Pomona is the great way to start. It's a great school.
Yeah. I was real. It was between there or Harvard, and I wanted to go to California. So.
Oh, God bless you. Pomona's a great school. But listen,
wait a minute. You couldn't get into Harvard. You would have went to Harvard if you could have gotten to Harvard.
No. It's I didn't want to go East Coast. I've got a 3.9 and a 1460 SATs.
No, you son of a bitch. I hate you.
And
Pomona College is one of the best schools in the country. People on the West Coast don't know that.
It's a farm town.
It's funny. I was so excited to get into this hype school, and then like I tell people about it, and they're like, "Huh?"
Yeah.
No, they go Cal Poly Pomona.
Yeah. Oh God, everybody says that, and I'm like, no, it's like 10 miles away, and about.
So the dreams aren't a problem then. Yeah. It's the school.
Here's my concern. Do you have any other symptoms at all?
You know, not really. Other than that, I'm a super even keeled guy.
Because here's my thing. First and foremost, you need to. Vivid dreams are a common medical symptom, and especially vivid dreams that don't have any specific thematic sort of origins to them.
Why?
Things like medication, things like kidney dysfunction,
really?
Things like central nervous system problems. These are very common symptoms. So you've been using a lot of ibuprofen, which can upset your kidney function, can cause bleeding. You could be iron deficient.
Drew, why does kidney dysfunction cause weird dreams?
Because you become uremic, and uremia changes your brain function. And vivid dreams and having difficulty telling the difference between dream and reality, which it sounds like what happened when he woke up. He wasn't immediately oriented to his waking state. He remained in sort of a REM state and started attacking his dad. This is a biological problem, and it needs to be looked into. It might be from all that ibuprofen.
Really? It says he takes it once in
a while.
You
take, how much ibuprofen are you taking?
Where is he? Let me get him back.
Where do you go?
How much do you take, Owen?
Well, I take probably just like the recommended dose. I take, you know, 2 or 3 a day every other day, maybe. But, Drew, one other dream symptom that I was having was was sometimes when especially if I have one early in the night and I wake up, I won't be able to move for a couple seconds.
So it's a night terror. It's a true night terror.
I'm not terrorized. I'm not.
Yeah, but those being paralyzed states are night terrors. And the other thing that goes with that is a seizure type phenomenon. So this is something that does require a medical evaluation.
All right, good times. The guy's having some weird dreams. He's got to see the doctor. I mean,
hey guys.
Yeah.
Adam?
What? What?
I don't know how long you studied medicine, but this is the way it goes.
Listen, Drew, I don't know how long you studied medicine, but who's always right when we argue? How dare you?
Neither of us.
Cheryl?
Yes.
You're 26.
I am.
What's up?
Well, possibility I may be pregnant, and within the last 2 months I've done ecstasy 3 times. And I need to know if there's a possibility of causing damage or if there's any, I guess, you know, what...
Did you not know you were pregnant when you were doing the ecstasy?
No. I'm on birth control pill. Taken religiously.
Okay. So, maybe you took the ecstasy and thought it was a birth control pill, and that's what got you pregnant.
Nah.
But, Drew, what about this? We never really talk about this, do we?
Yeah, we don't know. We know the stimulants hurt developing babies, but so it's obviously not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know for sure on ecstasy. I've not seen any data on that.
Well,
however,
3 times, not too much.
Yeah, why do you sound like you're doing so much more than just ecstasy?
No, that's all I'm on besides smoking.
Yeah.
You sound depressed.
No, I drink alcohol.
Aren't you supposed to quit smoking when you're pregnant?
Yes, you are.
How about that? You going to do that?
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do? Yeah, you drinking?
No.
You going to raise this kid?
I already have 2. And that's why I want to find out what the effects are and whether I want to pursue keeping
Cheryl,
the child or not.
I just read addict when you. It's not about the ecstasy. What else are you doing? Pot?
No.
Nothing else?
No. That was the first drug I've ever tried.
Really?
Seriously.
You never had any problems with booze, huh?
No.
Are you
runs in the family. I won't go for it.
It does run in the family.
Yeah. Did get that.
Do you
vibe.
Take any prescription medication?
No.
Okay. You you have a man in your life?
Yeah, I've been married 5 years now.
Okay. So if we told you that the kid was going to be defective, you'd give him up for adoption?
I don't think I would carry it through.
We can't tell you that for sure.
Well, listen, we can't with any, you know, super certainty, but 3 exposures to X, the kid's probably going to be fine.
Probably.
What's your husband think?
My husband told me to call just to see.
And are you hearing it, Cheryl?
I'm hearing, like, just serious depression.
Well, I'm concerned about what's going on, whether I want a new child in the life.
All right, you don't really want this kid. It's not the X. I mean, it doesn't sound like your husband's too crazy about it either.
No. I love children. I don't want to get rid of it, but I also know the strain that's being put through financially and everything that's going on now.
Yeah.
So I'm under a lot of pressure. I'm not depressed about it, but I'm under a lot of pressure.
You sound depressed. What's your husband do?
He's on disability right now.
Hmm. Why? What's he on?
Back injury.
Right.
No, shoulder.
Rotator
cuff. Possible surgery here within the next 2 weeks.
All right. Well, how are the kids you got now? Are you taking care of them?
Oh, yes. No daycare. We work separate shifts to keep the kids out of daycare situations.
Really? I think
and
a little bit. I think being separated from you two wouldn't be such a bad plan if I was those kids. All right, Cheryl. Well, why don't you take this one and, you know, sell it on the internet or something, okay?
Oh, no.
All right.
Bye.
Good times.
Okay.
We're going to take a little break. The Colt is here. There was something up with Cheryl. I don't know exactly what, but more than met the ear. The Colt is here. Like I said, Billy and Ian. Drew is over there in New York, and we'll be right back.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there in New York, out there to do the TV show 48 Hours, which will air when, Drew?
Sometime after tomorrow.
All right. Hmm. It will not air between now and the time you do it. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. End of the month sometime.
All right. The Colt is here. Billy and Ian both here. Beyond Good and Evil is the name of the CD that is out. It is in record stores, and it is definitely the Colt. And we will hear something else off of that CD probably after we take a couple of calls. Let's talk to Jason, who's 30. Jason?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, I'm a major Colt fan. I want to thank you for coming back, making an album that will save rock and roll.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for being there.
And I had a question for both of you, actually, if there's time.
Go ahead.
Go.
I wanted to ask Billy his guitar heroes. I can't really detect any obvious ones in his playing.
Oh, well, there'd be Mick Ronson, that used to play with David Bowie in the 70s. And I also played with Bob Dylan for a while in the Rolling Thunder Review. He's a big influence. And Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols. And Ron Ashton and James Williamson, the guitar players from Iggy and the Stooges. I thought that was pretty seminal stuff. The first 2 or 3 Stooges albums, those guys were really good. So, there you go.
And Ian...
Yeah.
Do you see a correlation between your more your lyrics that were influenced by Native American spirituality and your new and lyrics now that are more with your Tibetan influence?
Yeah, it's just something that, you know, my interest evolved in Tibetan culture because of the similarities between the the Tibetan nomadic tribes. You know, I ended up going to Tibet, but I've had a love affair of indigenous culture since about 11 or 12 years old. You know, it's just an interest that's evolved.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah?
They're going to be in Sacramento on the 17th. You going to see them?
Yeah, can I have a pass?
No.
Oh, man.
No, you got to pay.
Go to sleep with a roadie to get a pass. Come on.
That's right.
No, to meet you.
You can meet a roadie. M-E-A-T.
That's right.
You guys are awesome. Play Coming Down for me.
All right. I don't know what we're going to play.
That's a funny story. Oh, we won't be playing that in the gig, and I'll tell you why, because we tried to do it yesterday and we couldn't.
Where'd you try it yesterday?
We were trying to do a rehearsal, just knock up a couple more songs, because we've been out on the road for a month already.
Right.
And we were just trying to add a couple of songs just to keep it fresh for the fans and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to do that. So I can't figure it out.
Hey, when you're on the road, can you rehearse, or is just every gig a rehearsal in a sense? I mean, can you find any time to work something out?
Sound checks sometimes.
Sound checks if you're in the mood. It's like,
be in the mood.
You know, the only thing about touring I've noticed that I seem to be more knackered all the time.
Right.
And I wonder why.
Oh, easy.
Hey, Billy. Well, he's getting
a lot of tinkling going on the road.
That's right.
Be nice.
Billy?
Speaking of tinkling, Billy.
Yeah, caller Billy. What's up? You're 17.
Yeah, I have a bedwetting problem. I went to a doctor, and he said there's nothing physically wrong with me. It seems that, I will not feel an urge to wake up in the middle of the night.
You what?
I will not feel an urge to wake up.
You just pee?
I just pee.
Okay. What are you doing with your phone, Billy?
I'm on a cell.
Okay. So, you wet the bed every night?
Yeah, not every night. Occasionally.
Oh, dude.
Occasionally. Yeah. And you don't have the, you don't wake up. You're a sound sleeper and you whiz on
sound
yourself.
Sound sleeper.
Right.
Yeah. What kind of doctor did you see?
A pediatrician.
Do you ever have dreams you're on the toilet?
Never.
Really? Yeah, I've done that before. You guys ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
Dream you're standing over the toilet? That's
yes,
nice.
Sir.
You feel like a genius until you realize what the hell's really going on. Hey, Billy?
Yeah.
Hey, I used to wet my bed, too. I wasn't 17, but I did it longer than I should have.
Yeah. You're going to give them the egg timer advice, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell them what worked out. I used to whiz my bed, and whenever I'd go sleep over at my grandparents' house, I was probably, I don't know, 9 years old or something. My grandfather didn't want me whizzing up the sofa, so we would go to bed at, I don't know, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. He'd go watch The Tonight Show, and then he'd come in about 1:30 in the morning. He'd wake me up, and he'd make me take a whiz into a bucket. I think he maybe gave me a hand job. I can't remember. And then I went back to bed. The point is I never wet his sofa because he woke me up 3-4 hours into my sleep, had me drain myself and go back to sleep. So you need to do that. And people talk about all of these, you know, sleep centers and therapists and doctors. Get a little egg timer, one of those little digital kitchen timers. You can set it for 3 hours. You can set it for 2.5 hours, whatever it is. Next time you wet yourself, look at the clock and see when it is. It's probably about the middle between the time you went to bed.
One. You should patent one, mate.
I'd love to, except for they're $5 and they're all over the world.
Draw your name on it.
I could put like...
call it Whizbegone.
Dr. Adams Whizbegone.
Whizbegone.
And color it yellow. And all you got to do is hit 3 hours, put it next to your nightstand, you wake up, you go take a leak, then you go back to bed. You're not going to wet. I mean, how can you wet the bed when there's nothing in you? Drew, why am I the only one who thinks of this stuff?
I had a very close relative who used to wet the bed until late in life, and that was because of they had a meningitis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Drew? When they were younger.
Yeah. Why didn't you bring that up, Drew?
You didn't give me a chance.
He was just about to.
Oh, okay.
There are all sorts of problems with spinal reflexes that can cause that kind of thing. But like you say, Adam, there's nothing in you. You have nothing to pee. And one of the medical approaches to this is giving a hormone that shuts off the urine production so you don't produce urine overnight.
Right.
I'm surprised they didn't offer him that.
Well, but again, to me, you're taking a pill, and it's something that could be remedied sort of mechanically easily, it seems to me.
I agree.
Just do the math. All you got to do is wake up 5 minutes before you would have wet the bed.
Two other things, right? Tie a knot in it, or don't drink liquids any time before you go to sleep.
Another good point.
That's kind of a basic 101, right?
Yeah.
Stay off the liquids.
Part of my problem when I was 9 is I'd put down a six-pack of Mickey's Big Mouth before I turn in.
Obviously party time at your house.
Shove gum in your penis. Yeah, gum in your penis. Oh, shut up, Drew. Alicia?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Well, I just have a question for both you and Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of getting a nose job, because I just hate it so much. It's like, it has a bump, and it points kind of downward. Yeah. And I just want to know what your opinion on it is, like, for teenagers to get a nose job.
So you're 15 years old.
Yeah.
Do people make fun of you?
Well, no, but I have this terrible, like, self-image. I'm always self-conscious, and yeah. I just hate it so much.
Yeah, but don't you think once you fix the nose, you would just take that negative energy and shift it to another part of your body, like your ass?
Well, no, because I have negative energy for my whole body, so it doesn't really matter.
That's my point. It's like, why bother fixing the nose? You'll just go somewhere else.
Well, I figure, like, I can do it one thing at a time, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, those kind of people, first off, end up looking like Picassos by the time they get into their 30s. You see those women that just worked on themselves way too long, or those men who work on themselves. I mean, Drew, you've seen Michael Jackson's nose up close and personal, right?
Yeah. You need a microscope to see it up close, now, don't you? It's that small.
Well, you can't quite make it up for all the scar.
Really?
That's sad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's just like, that's a disease, right? That's like a body imaging disease.
All he needed was a little cuddle.
He got one of those.
Yeah. Hey, Alicia?
Yeah?
So, instead of just shifting from part to part, fixing everything, why don't you just sort of try to get your head on emotionally and be okay with yourself?
I'm not. I can't do that. It's just too hard.
Alicia, at least at 15, most people have all kinds of concerns about who they are and how they look. At 19, it may not seem so overwhelming, and you may make different choices about what you want to do about it. So just hang in there, all right?
Yeah, but I just want to know, like, is it safe, though? I mean, even if I don't get
You'd have to talk to a plastic surgeon. Yeah. I'd be hard-pressed to think that anyone would do it.
Really? I bet they'd do it. Hey, what about, they're very unscrupulous people, those plastic surgeons. Alicia?
Yeah?
Do you have an eating disorder?
No, but, like, I talked to a psychiatrist, and she thinks I have a lot of potential for one.
I see. Sure. You just haven't realized it yet. You're sort of an underachiever.
Oh, I know. I know that I realize how bad I am with my self-image and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, at least you're going to a shrink.
Yeah, that's good.
What's up? Do your parents pull a number on you?
No, I was, like, depressed when I was about 13. I tried to kill myself. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of problems. I'm, like, weaning myself off of medication. I messed up. I don't know.
Is somebody telling you to wean off, or are you doing that on your own?
The psychiatrist told me to. She said she doesn't think I have major depression anymore, but she's, like, worried about, like, you know, my eating and all that.
Okay.
Hey,
where are we?
Alicia.
Yeah.
How about you, like, rent a Pippi Longstocking movie and eat some popcorn and just, I don't know, be 15? Like, I mean, do you have to weigh yourself down with all these, you know, clinical diagnoses and things like that? Nose jobs and, you know, eating disorders and suicide attempts and pills. You're 15. Do you have friends? Do you have anything you like to do?
Yeah, I mean, I still think, like, that I have, like, a little bit of depression in me because, like, I don't like, you know, to, like, go out that much. I always think people are, like, looking at me and judging me.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to work on that.
Yeah, I know.
Don't you have any friends?
Yeah, I have friends.
Well, why don't you hang out with them a little bit and have a laugh?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I can do that.
So painful.
Yeah, I mean, what? Listen, you can have a good time.
Yeah.
Why don't you try that? I know it sounds so trite, but we always come back to this, and especially women, I think sometimes they don't have enough friends. They look at women competition.
Don't you think there's a lot of pressure on girls, though, to look a certain way now? It's getting worse, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah, there is, but if you can find...
Objectification and the billboards and the advertising and...
Absolutely.
Britney Spears.
Oh, that's
et cetera,
why...
Et cetera.
That's why you got to find, like, 3 or 4 big, fat, homely chicks to hang out with.
Yeah.
And you guys feel good about each other. Right? Drew? Well, I mean, find somebody less attractive than you are and befriend them and hang out with them. It'll make you feel better.
But what you were talking about, how women don't have as many friends, they have friends and they actually use them more effectively, but they can't sort of act out the way guys do. Guys go destroy things and they do sports and they physically release a lot of this and they have it in a comradeship.
Right.
And it really helps them get through these things. That women sit and stew about it and they reinforce sometimes each other's neuroses.
Brandis?
What?
You're 27. What's up?
Almost. Not much. How are you doing?
Good. What's your question?
Well, I have a couple of questions for Ian and Billy.
Here they are.
First of all, Ian, you're probably one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen.
Oh, but, thank you.
I wondered about, from Sonic Temple, Edie, Chow Baby.
Yeah.
What is that about?
What's it about?
Yes.
It's about one of Warhol's actresses. You know Andy Warhol?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, he had a, in New York in the 60s, had a place called The Factory, and he made a lot of films there. And one of the actresses he had was, her name was Edie Sedgwick.
Oh.
And you know Edie Sedgwick? Have you heard of her?
I think I do. I'm not sure. I am a little young, but...
Well, the film is, there's a movie called Chow Manhattan.
Okay. Is she a dark-haired lady?
She's a brunette girl, yeah.
Right, okay.
I really identified with her character and wrote a song about her.
Oh.
But Chow Baby really refers to the movie Chow Manhattan. If you get a chance, maybe you can see the...
Right, I will definitely check it out now. Yeah. And are you guys going to be in Boise on your tour?
I don't know.
That's Idaho. I don't remember reading that one
I don't know. We are going around again probably in the fall.
Oh.
So yeah, it's possible.
Definitely going out again. And so we might, well, go to some towns that we don't hit the first time.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I was surprised to hear a release by you. One of my favorite radio stations here plays Rise all the time, and I was just like, you know, so...
Well, if they continue to play it, it's more likely that we'll end up coming to Boise, where I don't think we've ever been before.
Heck out of it.
No reason to go to Boise.
No.
Beautiful up there.
Everybody that comes to play a concert here that thinks they're not going to like it always ends up loving it. Nirvana loved it here. But oh, God.
Let me tell you... All right,
obviously.
Let me tell you why people who go to Boise are love Boise, because they go in with such a low expectation level that they're pleasantly surprised when they
get
there.
The roads are paved.
You know what? It's all relative.
It can go 50-50 when you go on the road. It's like some towns that you think are going to be a lot of fun ain't.
Disappoint.
And some towns completely surprise you.
Drew, what is the closest to Boise that's on this list that you can't see? I mean,
probably Seattle.
Seattle. That's what I thought.
And that's not on the list either.
Maybe Portland.
Portland, yeah.
Yeah, because Boise's up there. It's next...
where? Between Montana and Washington.
Right.
Oregon,
right.
Washington.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, if she's a big cult fan, she can drive. All right, let's talk... why don't we put... you want to hear a song, Drew?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
All right. You got a song queued up
there,
Anderson?
Put Paul back on hold there, Adam.
All right. I'll put Paul on hold, and we will hear another new one from the cult called American Gothic. There you go. Another good song from the cult off of Beyond Good and Evil. That's the name of the new CD. It is out, and they are out. They will be on the road and in a town near you unless you live in Boise.
Yeah.
But they may hit that on the next go round. Drew, you got another call you want to say hi to?
Sure.
Paul?
Yeah.
You're 24. What's up?
Yes, I am. Well, first of all, I had a comment for the cult. I think you guys are the gods of rock and roll. Everybody says AC/DC the gods, or what? The godfathers of rock and roll? I have to disagree. You're phenomenal.
Thank you.
And, I saw you in concert at the Sundance Film Festival a year and a half ago up in Park City, Utah.
Killer.
A lot of fun that was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I was a security guy right on the front row, and I stopped the guy from crowd surfing who was about to come up and maul you, and you, you know, you weren't too happy about it, but, you know, I forgive you. So, you know.
That's all right.
All right. So what's your question, Paul?
All right. I have developed an addiction to nalbuphine.
What is that?
That's Stadol?
No, it's an injectable painkiller.
Nubane?
Yeah, Nubane.
Nubane, yeah.
Yeah, and I've tried a couple times to get off of it, but I've noticed that, especially at night, I'll just get, like, my joints will get really achy and just...
Well, it's itchy. The heroin, Nubane, morphine, it's all the same thing. Okay, so this is a profound, profound opiate addiction, and it's going to require treatment. You need to go somewhere to get this treated. You will not, even if you successfully detox yourself outside a hospital, there's no way you'll stay off that drug, or you'll escalate something else. Because with that drug, in people who are genetically prone, that drug throws a switch in the brain that requires a lot of treatment to undo, really.
Where do you get that drug?
Oh, I've got some sketchy friends here and there.
And you inject it?
Yeah, we have this little insulin syringes you can shoot in your shoulder, you know, painless.
How often do you do it?
You know, it used to be about, you know, a couple times a day.
Right.
But I've tapered it down. I've been able to cure it, at least, you know, I can do it once a day and I'll be all right with it.
All right, and well, what's the feeling?
Yeah, but Paul, you're focused on tapering off the drug. That's not the problem. It'll be no problem detoxing you. The problem will be this is profound, profound addiction, and it's about staying off the drugs. That's the problem.
Yeah, how about treatment. Detoxing from something like this as opposed to heroin?
Same thing? Yeah, same. Heroin's a little more intense, lasts a little longer, but it's the same deal.
But what about would they give methadone to someone like Paul?
Yeah, but again, that's out of the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah.
Methadone is far methadone is far more difficult to get off than Nubank. Far more difficult.
Really?
You want to get off Paul?
Sorry?
You want to get off it, right?
Oh yeah, I mean definitely. I'm trying to clean my system out. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not going to take me anywhere. It's not the road I want to go down in life, and you know,
Paul, you're not hearing me. This is a disorder that doesn't get better even in the best of circumstances unless you go participate in treatment. Detoxing, getting off the drug, is the easiest part of this whole process.
I know, but it must scare these guys when you talk that way, Drew, because they look like that's the hardest part.
Yeah, but sure, it's like, where do you go to detox?
Treatment.
Just like, you know, I mean, the guy's just finding out he's got an addiction.
He's got to go to a treatment program. Just call up a local hospital and get a referral and go.
Local hospital, right.
Any hospital will have a treatment program for this kind of thing.
All right.
Or most hospitals, at least they'll know where to go. Or you can call Narcotics Anonymous and, you know, get in with people that have been through this and see what they've done, what programs they recommend.
We will take ourselves a little break. Billy and Ian are both here from the cult. We'll be back after this.
Hello, who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. Dr. Drew is over there in New York tonight. He's going to be doing 48 hours tomorrow. Billy and Ian are both here from the cult, but Billy's shaking the dew off the lily or finishing his taco salad or doing something. So he'll
tinkling.
Stroll into the studio in just a matter of moments.
Gone to the loo.
Till then, he skipped to the loo.
He's gone for a slash.
Is a slash, is that peeing?
Yes, that's the peeing term in England, slash.
I like that. Yeah. So you could take a slash?
You can take a slash.
Go for a slash?
So when we first met, slash.
Right. Can you slash on somebody?
Yes, it's been known. If you go to the soccer in England, when I was a kid going to soccer in the UK, you used to stand there at the football, as we call it in England. You used to feel the warm stream going down the back of your leg. Some alky standing there with a can of beer, just taking a pee down the back of your leg, taking a slash at the soccer. That was always a big one, especially in Scotland.
Now, in the soccer stadiums or the football stadiums in England, do you guys just take a slash into one big long trough like we do here?
Yes.
Have your own? Yeah, that's good.
Some guys actually may take a jobby in the stands as well. I'm telling you, man, it was barbaric. Especially in Scotland, Rangers and Celtic games, just barbaric.
Really? Just crazy? Everyone drunk?
Everyone drunk.
Isn't jobby a Scottish term?
Oh, yes, sir.
What is that? Is that taking a crap?
It's number two.
Oh, I like that. And do they now, see, here they cut you off the beer at a certain point.
Not there.
They don't do it there.
Well, they worked it out after a period of time.
Right. Yeah, I don't hear as much about the soccer hooligans as I used to hear.
They're at it.
Are they still there?
Mm-hmm.
No,
one thing, I'll tell you one thing that happened, though, in England, they changed the stadiums to all seated because, you know, when we were first going, you could stand up. And there was a lot of crushing, and there was a lot of people got crushed to death when they weird crowd things happened. And anyway, it's mellowed out a lot.
Now they give
you a
seat. Must
be harder to take that jobby with a seat.
You have to go to the proper facility for the jobby, Dr. Drew.
Jim?
Yeah.
You're 25. What's up?
First of all, I'd like to say the cult, you guys rock.
Thank you, Jim.
I saw Ventura Theater about a year ago, and Ian, you were like riding on the crowd, and I was like pushing you around, so that was cool.
Ooh.
And
I think they're going to be in.
It was a fantasy.
Santa Barbara coming up in a couple of days.
I got to check that out.
Yeah, you should go see him. What's up?
Well, basically, I've always been kind of an ass guy, right?
Right.
An ass guy. Ladies' asses, right?
Jim, there's nothing wrong with that, mate. Join the club.
And anyway, so. I've always kind of been, you know, like, it turns me on to kind of, you know, when a girl picks it in the butt, you know.
Right.
And I've just, you know, been trying to get my girlfriend to, but she doesn't like it. And anyway, I was just wondering where what's you guys' opinion, where that comes from.
Take a shopping first. That always worked for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mean why are some guys into that and some guys aren't?
Yeah, and there's also a lot of pornos that are totally into that, you know, and some aren't, but there's like a lot of them these days, it seems like, and it just seems like, where does that come from?
The goalposts have moved in the porno world.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? there's a lot more jobby packing going
on. Don't you think it's interesting that when the more the AIDS thing came about, it seemed that in parallel in the world of pornography, they actually got more into anal sex, where pretty much now nearly every porno video is pretty much that's involved in them all now.
Well, I think one of the keys to porno is evolution. You must keep evolving. And otherwise, it's not pornography. I mean, if you think about it, yesterday's pornography is not today's pornography. The pornography your dad saw...
There's only a certain amount of holes that you can actually fill them.
Right, but you keep moving. You go to the anal, you go to the gangbang, you go to that new thing where everyone gets off on the chick, you know, covers her with a tidal wave of semen. You have to keep raising the bar, because I've never really thought about this, but the stuff, like I said, that our dads considered pornography 30 or 40 years ago is not pornography today.
No.
And
television.
Maybe the pornography that we look at as pornography today, 30 or 40 years from now, will be on NYPD Blue and not considered pornography.
It's like society standards are changing. I mean, they've got a lot of stuff, you know, they've got gay gang rapes in British TV now and stuff. And
really?
Yeah, there's a lot of milestone stuff going on in the last couple of years in television.
I just think you got to keep raising the bar, and that's part of raising the bar, is doing things that are a little more deviant, a little more edgy.
Seems like people just don't want to deal with their own pain.
Yeah, well, there's
escaping
that.
Further, more escapism.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
All right, so what is it with a guy who wants to do that? I don't know.
I think there's a little bit of aggression towards women, too, that particular thing.
Plus, there's also the thing that a lot of guys have, which is they really like the idea of talking a woman into doing something she doesn't want to do sexually.
Really?
There's a lot of guys that become sort of obsessed with that. And it's sort of a carryover from junior high or high school. You're trying to get this. They don't want to give you that. You spend your whole life as a guy trying to get women to do
stuff.
Junior high,
you're trying to get anything.
Well, that's the point.
Anything.
Whatever it is.
Crumb.
Whatever it is, they don't want to give it up, and you want it. Whether it's feeling a breast or getting a kiss or whatever it is. And some guys just carry that into their adult life. Josette?
Yes, hello.
Hey, you're 27. What's up?
I just wanted to say hello to Ian and Billy. I think they are absolutely wonderful, and I'm so
Thank
glad
you.
They've put out a new album.
Hi, Josette.
Also, I wanted to know where you drew your inspiration for the album Love, because that is my favorite.
A lot of different things for that. I think probably, you know, 70s, late 60s and early 70s rock music.
Right.
Because we kind of came out of punk rock, and one of the big things about punk rock was you weren't supposed to listen to that music. That was the great Satan, you know. And that's the kind of music we started listening to while I was picking up on the early 80s. I mean, you listen to Love albums, a lot of different things. Influences, Led Zeppelin, Iggy Pop and the Stooges is a big influence on that record. The Doors.
Wonderful. Yeah, it just has a very, I love the range and the spectrum of it. Like I said, it's my favorite. I just bought your new one today, so I haven't quite gotten a chance to really form an attachment to it, but I'm sure I will. I'm so glad you've
Thank
released
you.
Another album.
Are you going to see him in concert, Josette?
Unfortunately, no. I'm not going to be able to catch him in Santa Barbara when tickets went on sale. I didn't have any money. But hopefully, I hear you're going to be doing a second leg, and I'm moving up to Washington, so hopefully you'll hit
Seattle. I
was going
to say, Josette does not sound like she belongs in Bakersfield, does she, Adam?
No. I'm surprised they haven't thrown you out.
Yeah.
That Bakersfield's a dump. You've got to get out of there.
Well, that's why I'm getting out of here.
All right. But what's going on with your life that at age 27 you can't scrape together $60 to catch a cult?
Well, I have another question for Dr. Drew about this. Is kind of part of the reason. The past couple of years I've been going through a pretty heavy depression, and I have an appointment with a new therapist tomorrow.
What happened to your old therapist?
I'm very, very hypersensitive to medication, and I was wondering if you could suggest what the lowest or lightest antidepressant would be that I could mention to her.
Have you tried other ones before?
I tried Celexa for a while, and that just, I reacted very badly to it.
What happened?
I had very severe headache. I was having very bad nightmares.
Have you tried Cerazone?
No, I didn't.
Celexa is one of the mildest in that class of serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and Cerazone's a slightly different class, and you can get it in very low dose and take it a couple times a day. So that's probably the best next step for you, I would think.
Cerazone?
Yeah.
All right, Josette. Get out of that Bakersfield, and your depression will go away. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Michelle up here. She's 26. Michelle?
Hi.
What's up?
First, I want to say something to Ian and Billy. I just wanted you to know my husband and I have been listening to you guys since we were 14 or 15 years old, and we've been through Southern Death, Cult, Love, and everything else in between to the new album, and our wedding bands have Brother Wolf, Sister Moon on it.
Oh,
and
wow.
We are just in love with you guys.
Cool.
And you've been with your husband since you were 14?
Well, we've been best friends and then kind of dating on and off, and now we've been married. Going actually next week, the day after the concert in San Diego, is our 3-year anniversary.
Wow.
And we're going to see you guys there, Ian and Billy.
Wow.
So, and we saw you guys in San Diego last year. But one of my main questions is, my husband and I are going through a separation right now, and it's very hard. He likes to drink and party a lot, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's coming to the point where it's affected our marriage and our friendship and basically our lives. And
how could there be nothing wrong with it if it's destroying your marriage?
Well, I mean, we've grown up with that, and that's nothing wrong with it. But now you're right. I mean, it is affecting us, and there is something wrong with it.
Do you have kids?
No.
Oh, good.
Fortunately.
That's nice. And so you guys are separated now?
Yes.
And is he getting into a program or something?
Well, actually, he's probably at a friend's house right now, and he actually even might be listening on the radio. But he's been trying to modify it, and, you know, I don't know if the alcoholism is the only problem, but I know he's very depressed, and I think that comes hand in hand. Am I right?
Well, yeah,
no, absolutely.
What's your plan?
We've both been going to therapy separately, and we tried him living at his parents' or staying at his friend's house, and it's getting to the point where I thought it would help having time away and maybe giving himself a chance to work at things.
Yeah.
But it's actually making me really bitter, and I'm like I don't want to throw the towel in because I love him so dearly and so very much.
All right, do you want a suggestion?
Yeah.
Because what you've been trying to do is to restore the homeostasis you had before his alcoholism really took off. What you want is
homeostasis.
What the hell is homeostasis?
The stability. What you want is your relationship is
the home stability
restored to the point where he's like an alcoholic, but not an out of control alcoholic. But you can't get that. Your dad was probably an alcoholic, huh?
Actually, my dad was a compulsive gambler.
But that's
his family's a bunch of. I mean, he's third generation alcoholic.
Okay,
so yeah. Maybe it's time for him to quit. Maybe you should do some Al-Anon.
No. Right, Michelle. The only way that's going to get better is if you go to Al-Anon, you get a sponsor, you start doing some work. That will get his attention. The therapy will not be enough, and if that doesn't do it, then there's really not much else hope, because his disease has taken off. It's a different context. He has to now be totally abstinent because there's no way to go back to how it was.
His drinking's his problem.
You guys are still going to the Cult concert on the 19th, though?
Yeah.
Hey, it takes a lot of courage for you know, to do what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
Why don't, what's his name?
His name's Kyle, and like I said, he might be listening because I was driving home and I heard you guys on the radio, and I called him, I called his friend's cell phone. I'm like, would you tell Kyle the Cult's on? And we are like, he just saw you guys in L.A. and got you to sign our CD.
Tell Kyle that the Cult said that by the time they show up in San Diego on the 19th, that he should have himself 7 days of sobriety.
And a sponsor.
And then they'll dedicate a song to him, not out loud, but internally they will think about Kyle before they play a song. And you guys will live happily ever after. But he's got to get into the program.
And so does Michelle, though.
Yeah. Well,
really.
You know, I actually just...
All right, that's enough. You get in the program, he gets in the program, you guys go enjoy the cult. We're going to take ourselves a little break, and we'll be back with the cult after this.
Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Drew over there in New York. Drew will be back here tomorrow night in person. Right, Drew?
Yeah, in fact, Matt here was reminding me about the last time you were here. You came in loaded, right, rolled out of the strip bar.
Who?
You.
Who told you that? Oh, what, New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, to be fair to me, I was drunk and stoned. It was not just drunk.
Well, you made quite an impression here to the staff. I want you to feel proud.
Well, you know, I'll tell you the problem. The last time I was in New York, I did this, or it wasn't the last time, but 10 times ago when I did the radio show out of New York, we did this thing where this guy who wrote for a magazine wanted to take me and my partner Jimmy out for a night on the town with the guys from the Man Show. And we were going to drink and smoke weed and eat steaks. And I said, fine. And I got all into it. And then it was like 1 o'clock and I had to do the radio show. Well, you guys know, right? I wasn't in great shape. But Drew, you're the doctor. It's your job to carry this show when I'm not in good shape.
Oh, of course, yes.
All right, and you know the best part about that night is screwed up as I was at the end of the night when the show ended at 3 a.m. in New York, and the guy dropped me off back at the hotel. He dropped me off at the wrong hotel. It was actually the same name as the hotel I was staying at. It was just the other one. And I was standing out drunk and stoned at 3:30 in the morning in the middle of the street in New York, disoriented.
That's
because
happened.
I got a 7 o'clock flight out of L.A. that morning and really didn't even know where I was. I didn't have any money on me. And really, I really should have just cried.
If you could bottle that feeling, if there was a pill.
Is that what being on the road is like?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Generally, yes.
We didn't get into this last night, but I was talking. Who the hell was in here? Maybe it was the night before. I was just talking to a guest, and it was about being tired. And the one thing about show business or rock business or whatever that business is one thing they don't tell you about is you don't get to sleep a lot of the time.
No. Traveling. It's really hard to sort of like travel, when you especially travel like us, do long bus drives, and it's hard to sleep on a bus.
But also,
no matter how luxurious it is,
you do this show till 12 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and then Wednesday morning you're supposed to do some radio junket that starts at 5:30 or something like that. They never tell you about that.
You were talking to Rob Schneider about his movie junket.
Right. And he said he was in here till 12 and he had to get up at what, 6 the next morning?
Did to be somewhere at 6.
Yeah, they don't tell you about that. All right, Mike?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
My girlfriend wanted to have a kid starting a week ago. And 3 days ago, we were having sex. And when we were done, she took a condom and she put it in her...
In her mouth or in her vagina?
In her vagina.
All right.
Fully loaded?
No.
Well, was there something in the condom?
I've been trying to break off the relationship.
Hey, Mike, do you understand our question? Was there some of your seed inside of the condom? Okay. All right.
I've been trying to break it off, and I think she's using the kid to just keep us together or something.
Well, is she pregnant?
I don't know. It was just like 3 days ago.
Was it exactly 72 hours ago?
No, it was, last...
Hey, Mike?
Saturday.
Let me just jump in here. Do you smoke a lot of weed?
A little bit.
A little bit?
A lot, Mike.
Or
a
kilo every day? What's up with you? You're not processing very well.
It's late. I'm cold.
Okay, well, we're just going to hang up on you then, all right?
Well, Mike, what do I do about my girlfriend, though?
Well, break up with her.
You tell her you're going to break up with her as a kid or not, and you take her and you go get the morning after pill. You've got like 12 hours left to do this. Do it.
And listen, I have no problem whatsoever in hanging up on someone who can't get it together to do a national radio show. You're 16. You should be thrilled to be on the air with us. Ramon?
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up, guys?
You're 29.
Yeah.
There you go.
See, Ramon's awake.
That's right. Very lucid, this Ramon. That's what I like about him.
Yeah, let's do it.
What's up?
Come on.
Let's get to it.
Come on, baby. I heard the Cult play in Sundance in Park City, and they played a song, I think it was called Libertine.
Yeah.
Is that going to be on a B-side or something? It was awesome.
Only if you live in Japan, it will.
It's
the extra track in Japan and Australia.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
But I don't know. Tasco Record Company, they have these, like, strange political marketing things. I guess they feel like in fear. I don't know. The markets are different out there. They require more tracks or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You put an extra track to stop them buying cheaper imports or something.
There you go.
Domestically in Australia and the Far East, they want people to buy not imported CDs. So, and Libertine, I'll tell you what happened with Libertine. It was a song, one of the first songs we wrote for this album, and it kind of got put on the back burner because we got all excited about the new songs, and we made a decision not to put it on the album, and it was kind of left over. Which now, and then we finally heard it mixed, and we kind of thinking, oh, you know what? It sounds pretty good.
Well, can somebody get hold of it from an import place or something?
Yeah, buy
like
an
that?
Import in the States, pay I'll twice as much for the single track. We got to work that one out, I think.
Ramon, you'll do it, right?
I'll get it, man.
You know what, Ramon? Download
it. I'll buy it twice.
Dude, no, man, just download it.
Download
no,
it somewhere.
It. I'll buy it.
Yeah, let him buy it.
Download some Metallica with it as well.
Too.
Yeah,
Blas has got enough money.
All right, hey, you're going to see them, where's Fair Oaks, California?
In Sacramento area.
All right, you're going to see them when they're in Sacramento?
I got my ticket.
You got it already?
My day, Father's
Day.
Good times.
All right, you going to do Libertine live ever?
Yeah, you going to do it live?
We did, we're not doing it right now.
Maybe by the time I see you in San Francisco, then.
I'll knock it up for you.
The band will start working on it tonight.
thing is, we've been around a while, we got a lot of songs.
Yeah. What's
that? You guys
that?
Have your favorite accent, too. It's Berna and Australia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I always can figure out with the English accent why they put the A where the R should be and then lose
Australia.
The A and put the R. Like, sometimes English guys will say, like, instead of going to the spa, it'll be spar.
No, this is actually in England, there's a store, grocery store called Spa,
which is like 7-Eleven.
S-P-A-R.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's. You got that one wrong.
Well, wait a minute. All right, but I was
talking.
We're
going to buy some groceries.
I had a English girlfriend, and we lived in.
My deepest sympathy.
She was a piece of work. We lived in Santa Monica, and she would say she would say water, and then she would say Santa Monica. She put the R on there,
right.
And I would say to her, "You love to use that A so much. Why don't you just use it? Here's your chance. Santa Monica ends with an A. You can use it. Still put the R on there."
Too much sunlight, I think, has gone to her head.
Yeah, and ruined her. And she's back in England now, by the way.
Getting rained on.
We will take ourselves a little break. The Cult is here, and we'll be back after this. Everybody, that is the end of the show. Tricky will be in here tomorrow night. I want to thank Billy and Ian for coming in here from the Cult.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Hey, we do appreciate you coming in, and I will see you on the 22nd, Ann. Is that the Weenie Rose? Oh, 23rd. 23rd. That's right.
You gonna be there?
Oh, yes.
Rock and roll.
I have to be there, but I would not miss it anyway. Beyond Good and Evil is the name of the CD. If you don't have it, it's great. Go get it, and look for the Cult coming to a town near you. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
You have to go to the proper facility for the jobby, Dr. Drew.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.